We're back here at the Metal Meltdown. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. All right, so we just listened to Venom from the United Kingdom with Black Christmas from their 1997 album Calm Before the Storm. And before that, we listened to two songs from Von Dogma, from Chaoth, and Chaoth personal project. And so we listened to The Mask, and before that we started with the song that gives title to the EP called Communion. And now, without further ado, we have Chaoth himself right here after technology cooperating. How are you?
I am very good. Hello, ladies and John Lennon.
Awesome. Yes, finally technology gave us a hand.
It was a bit hard to get through, but you know, Canada is the second largest country in the world, so calling from Montreal to Vancouver is actually a technological feat in such.
Yes, it's definitely a long way. I definitely agree, and more reason to thank you again for, you know, staying up with us to talk on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just midnight, but yeah, I am indeed already in bed, so it's kind of a weird situation to make a radio interview.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's quite unique. We like unique situations here in the Metal Meltdown, so that's great.
Yeah, so everybody can visualize.
Exactly. All right, so I guess you just started a solo project called Von Dogma One or On, or how's the...
I know it's not very clear. It's not the catchiest name in the world. I'll have to repeat it every time I say that the band's name. But yeah, Von Dogma I is the project that I created after my previous band, Unexpect, was dissolved, yes.
Oh, okay. And you just came with an EP in a few months ago, or a couple of months ago?
Yeah, we released independently the Communion EP online, and work with John Asher to publish it, and it's what you heard earlier.
Yes, that's correct. We listened to a couple of songs while we were trying to deal with the technology. Usually I like to do a one-on-one between or before and after the interview, but
that's good. It's really fun actually to have the music out of the studio and on the airwaves, or just independent, you know. Once you get out of the studio, you just like put it out there, and it's fun to see it being played a bit all over. I got a bunch of interviews like in Canada and United States on the radio, and it's fun to see it being played.
Okay, that's good. So I guess one of the questions I wanted to ask you is like, how is Von Dogma I different from from Unexpect? Like, is it completely separate? Well, not separate, but I mean a completely different kind of music. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's still in the metal genre, you know, in the heavy music genre, but people that compare it to Unexpect, because obviously that's usually how I got into people's CD player. You know, I'm such a dinosaur, I still say CD player, by the way. you know, most people know me with Unexpect, I guess, and they kind of tend to compare the two. But yes, it is indeed very different. And it's a bit more what I've wanted to do for years now, after like a decade and more of playing this crazy prog music. It's something a bit more accessible, a bit more, simple in structure and just more straightforward. And so, yeah, it is very different. I don't really compare the two. It's just something that I wanted to do for a while.
No, that's great. And is it correct to... Well, okay, well, let me ask you. I don't want to assume anything. So, are you the main composer for lyrics and music?
Yeah, absolutely. The Communion EP was mostly me and my laptop for 1,000 hours or something like that. But whatever material that's going to follow is more going to be more of a band effort, because you know the band is still getting to know each other and we're working together, and it's going to be more of a full band chemistry on the next EP or next album, however it shapes.
I see. Have you been able to play this EP live yet?
Not yet. We're waiting for a couple dates to in early 2018 to get on stage, but so far it's just virtual, it's just practice space, and it's just like the EP. We're waiting on a couple dates for early 2018, and that would be, you know, that's my main goal, to take that to the stage and on tour, and you know, just keep doing what I've been doing for a while, which is playing music and rocking like a god.
Exactly. Excellent.
Not exactly the most modest moment of my day, I'll give it to you.
Well, you know, you're in the comfort of your bed, so you're relaxing, you know, showing
exactly.
Your true self. So
you know, the psychologists and psychotherapists, they make you lay down like that so you're more honest, and you just look at the ceiling and you have, I don't know, a different perspective on the world. Maybe that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, could be. I also wanted to ask you if you can tell us a little bit about the name. Like, where does it come from? What does it mean? You know, any background?
Yeah, I know it's a very uncommon name. Like I said, I have to repeat it every time I mention it. But Von Dogma I is an expression that I created that basically means the second incarnation of any entity into something that's more powerful, more conscious, and more evolved. So you can apply it like to many levels. On my personal level, that's what it was, because it was me breaking out of being one voice in a seven-piece band trying to be heard to fully controlling a project. Or you can take it on the whole society level, where we move into the 21st century, into a very different world, and everything goes really fast, and we're just being more conscious. And you can take it to the spiritual level, where when you die, your spirit, you know, you become spirit instead of physical. You know, your soul becomes spirit, and that's your second incarnation, and it's incredibly more conscious and powerful. And so Von Dogma is that expression, for some reason, that I created that meant all of that. And yeah, I thought it was a great thing, and there's like hidden messages in it and everything, but that's how much I'm willing to discuss.
No, that's good, thank you. Another question I wanted to ask you was, I haven't seen, you know, a lot of, I guess, especially metal bands or musicians to have I think you're the, you go a little extra with your 9-string bass.
Yeah.
I think I've seen 6-string bass a little more often, but, you know, a 9, it, I think, is, for me, the first time I see, somebody playing it. So I just wanted to ask you a little bit about it. Like, how hard was it to, you know, to switch? How long have you been playing the 9-string?
Well, yeah, it's a rather uncommon instrument, but it was even more uncommon when I started playing. I started playing an extended range basses in 2002. I had a 7-string bass, and then I got this one made for me in 2004, and got it in 2005, where I started playing it full time as my main instrument. So it was early on a blend of the Chapman stick and the bass. There was that trend on the west coast of the United States where bass builders started, you know, experimenting with basses with like 7, 8, 9 string. And there was that player from a band called Nuclear Rabbit called Jean Baudin, who used the 9-string in a rock band. And I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I thought it was the dopest shit ever. So I had one made because I was like, hey, I can do that. And it became my main instrument since like 2005, so I've been playing that for like 12 years now. And since then, you know, the 8-string guitar craze on metal became really popular, so the extended range phenomenon is a bit more of a thing now. But I guess like I said earlier, I'm a dinosaur, so I've been doing that for like 12 years. But I, with that new project, more and more people start to talk about the nine string because it's kind of a focal point of the band.
Yes. So how, if you can, you know, summarize a little bit or explain a little bit, like how different it is from a regular four. I mean, obviously, besides, you know, the strings and I'm assuming the notes that you tune it, like...
Yeah, well, it's if you take your basic four string, I have two lower strings and three higher strings. So it's pretty much, it gives me all the range of a grand piano, for example.
Wow.
And I was a lot into tapping and all these advanced techniques like slap and tapping. And there's really a lot you can do with a nine-string bass with tapping. It sounds really good on the higher strings. It's kind of that hybrid of like bass and guitar and harpsichord and piano. It sounds like all that at the same time when you have fresh strings. And I really liked that tone and started experimenting with that. And I don't know. It's just a mentality of you can make the world what you want it to be. And like, why stop at four or five or six strings? You know, you can just make anything custom and blend and mold your body to your instrument. So that was a. An approach of open-mindedness and experimentalism.
No, that's pretty awesome. Like I said, I've never seen, at least in metal. I think you're the first one I see or I meet or.
Yeah, there's like 8-string guitars and even 9-string guitars now, but the bass is not. It's still not super common. But the approach is really different too. Like I said, I was a lot into tapping and it is just. So much you can do, and I wanted to feature that instrument not as a shredding, you know, it's not to show off or not to shred, but I wanted to use these different techniques and this different playing style and just focus on songwriting with kind of a new instrument, and that's pretty much what this project is about, you know.
Yes. No, that's awesome. And so did you record like all the instruments for Communion, is that correct?
I recorded bass and guitar for the EP.
Oh, okay.
And I did it with Blaise Leonard, which was a producer of the EP. And we did it pretty fast. We did it in a rush, like within 2 weeks. It was all recorded and mixed and everything. And I'm already looking forward to like recording new material and having a follow-up EP that's going to be, you know, more expressive of the production quality that I... desire.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, this one, well, it to me sounded, you know, it had good quality, like it's you know,
decent. I'm always aiming higher.
There you go.
The goal of life.
Yes. No, you know, some of us are like that. Once we have something, we want to make it better. So I think that's good personally.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. If you like it now, it'll be better in the future. You know, I realize that I scratch my wall while I sleep. I guess I'm not, you know, a steady sleeper. And it looks like a kind of a stock market chart.
Oh, there you go. Maybe it's a little message that, you know, the unconscious is trying to tell you.
Yeah, or maybe it's literally a message. Maybe I'm writing lyrics while I sleep.
Yes.
That looks crazy. I'll have to repaint that. I can get a girl over here and there's claws on the walls. That doesn't sound good. Anyway.
Yeah. Sounds fun, though.
Yeah, well, sure.
All right. Okay, well, I just wanted to thank you again for you know, taking the time to talk to us and, dealing with the lovely technology issues.
Yeah, well, no problem. Thank you so much for playing the music and having me.
No, our pleasure. Thank you very much. And we have our little link on your of your profile for Facebook. Any other places where people can get your EP?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mostly distributed online right now. So you can go on bandcamp.com and check out Von Dogma I, VVON, and you'll get right to it. And you can stream and buy the EP right there.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much again. And
no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, let us know when you have the little dates going on, and you know, we'll be happy to spread the word.
Absolutely. People can follow it on Facebook for now.
Absolutely. Okay. Will do.
Yeah.
Thank you very much again.
Cheers, man.
All right. Cheers. All right. So that was Chaot from Von Dogma Eye, and we'll continue with the music here at the Metal Meltdown.
Remember Christ the Savior was born of